Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
There's people right now that are trying to push laws, and there's a lot of folks that are panicking because of what does that mean to Christians? What does that mean to, you know, the kingdom of God? Well, truly, you know, it means absolutely nothing in the context of it. But it does mean this, you know, it's not happening by accident. And it's not happening because God's going, hey, I want to hurt you or anything like that. We got to ask ourselves, is it happening because we said we were moral? We said that, you know, we are a one nation under God, but we live like we were immoral, and we live. Now, I'm not talking to anybody that's not Christian here. I'm just talking to people who profess to be Christ followers, that we've sinned against God. Not the people in the world, right. Not the people that's involved in the world's view of the legal system. Is could God just be getting our attention because we were turning to laws to say, and we were convinced that because if you can make this a law, that you're right. But remember this, that, you know, there was a day that believe it or not, and it's so just confounding to me, that people actually believed and they said and they voted for it in Washington, D.C., that one man was not valuable, his wife wasn't valuable, and his children weren't valuable, and they couldn't be American citizens. As a matter of fact, you could actually own those people. That was a law that was accepted in the land of America. It was a law. And a lot of people, and the crazy stuff, if you have not seen 12 Years a Slave, which I would say, see it on Clearplay. I just like, no, you know, you're enslaving these folks because it's legally right. But they were standing there, John, with a Bible in their hand. In the backyard, mind you, not in the house.
Right.
While they were sitting on logs and stuff like this, African Americans were enslaved by the slave owner at the plantation. While they're preaching the gospel, you know, talking about what's in the scriptures,
right,
and even using scriptures on them. It was just like, I'm like, no, you know. And it's like, now obviously today, that people can go, that's just crazy. Why would anybody? But you have to understand, they thought at that time that it wasn't crazy. You know, the people walked and they went to church every day, you know, and it didn't blink their eye, didn't, you know, because it wasn't everybody that was doing it, owning people, and those that were owning people, everybody wasn't abusing people. But the very fact that you could say a human being is creating the image and likeness of God, and that our Constitution says that all of our rights come from God, and that you could live contrary to that. I mean, you think about that. But you have to understand, in the mind of the heart of this nation, who took over the cotton market of the world and sent all the cotton to Europe so they can make textiles for the world, mind you, and that came because of free slave labor, that's called legal then, yes, but it was not moral. It never was moral. Those two things didn't even connect. They didn't even overlap. And how crazy that is now to us. How crazy that is to us now. And hopefully it's crazy to you. If it's not, you'll find out the judgment seat of Christ is crazy.
That's right.
Because it's immoral. There's some things that people are trying to do today. Things that are trying to say, you know, let's make a law for this. Let's make a law for that. 1973, let's make a law for Roe versus Wade. Let's make a law that says, you know what? You can kill your baby in your womb. You can end the life of your baby in the womb. And just like the days when slavery was legal, it was legal, but immoral, that today people look at ending the life of a child in the mother's womb as legal, and they think it's moral because it's legal, but it's not. We're going to face God one day, and he's going to ask us, you know, and you're going to say, well, it was legal. I finally got my legislature to put in a bill. We passed it. We got Roe versus Wade, even though the woman that we used to get the particular bill passed never aborted her child and didn't want anything to do with a particular thing. But we changed the law of God. So I just want to let you know that there's a law in America that says that we can end the life of our child. You have to understand, you're not saved by the law, because a man who actually lives by the law dies by the law. If you broke one law, you broke them all. You're not, you can't, you're not righteous by the law. And you can't form Jesus to some other Jesus and all of a sudden think that Jesus is going to rubber stamp your form of God. I mean, he's not. You just created another God. And so the dilemma is, as crazy as slavery seems today, and when people just like, really? I don't think so. That's not going to happen on my watch. There's going to be a day. There's going to be a day that people are going to look back and they're going to say, you know what? You know what? I cannot believe there was a day that somebody would actually kill their child in their body.
Wow.
I mean, today it's like the mentality of slavery, where people actually thought that was right. Well, today, guess what? Do you think abortion is right? Do you think these immoral laws that are being passed make things change? Or you think, you know what? I'm going to step outside of this world system, no matter what happens in this world. And the law drives me to God, because I fail when I try to do things legalistically and try to make some law to make myself right. Paul talks about it in Romans chapter 7. He says, when I go to do good, I can't do it because there's something inside of me that breaks the law. And so I turn to God, and God fulfills the righteous requirements of the law inside his son. That's what Jesus is about. And so this fueling of legalism and laws, if we got to change the laws, it's going to escalate and magnify our sin. It's going to cause us to look utterly sinful. But guess what? That's not a negative thing. It's just a real thing that makes us go, you're right. You're right. Outside of Jesus Christ, there's no way I could do this. There's no way I could do this. But we have this going for us in regards to being American, this fledgling nation, is the fact that we had an American citizen who had great suffrage in his life, and he was an African-American, but he also was a Christian. And his daughter, Bernice King, who heads the King Center now, she says, a lot of people say that, oh, you know, my dad was, you know, in the civil, was called to the civil rights movement. And she says, no, he was called for a spiritual movement, and he was assigned to the civil rights. Civil rights are for all of us. And we have to stand up. He stood up because it was immoral and unjust, the things that were happening to the African-American citizens and human beings and the citizens in America. And it's time that the church, we have to stand up and just say, you know, even if there's some sort of conflict in coming together, that even if I suffer, and we're going to talk about that and get back from this break, because there is going to be conflict. Jesus Christ is a wedge issue, but it wedges us, you know, separates us from our sin, but it also separates us from those who don't want anything to do with God. I mean, think about that. A wedge issue is where people who get along, there's something that comes in between them. Every time you bring Jesus up as the Son of God and the one that paid the price and that no man's righteous by the law, and we have to have God, and we have to have his moral law in our hearts and seek it, it's a wedge issue. So you got to get over it, and you got to find out, God, how do I walk as an American Christian? How do I remain civil as a civil Christian in a civil nation called America? I think Dr. King kind of set an example. More when we get back from the break.
We'll be right back.
I'm out here with Apollos Hester, wide receiver for the Patriots. You guys had one heck of a game tonight. How'd it go? I mean, it was going a little back and forth. You guys knew it was going to be a tough dogfight out there, and it was. So what were you guys able to do to come back and win this thing?
All right, well, at first we started slow. We started real slow. And, you know, that's all right. That's okay, because sometimes in life you're going to start slow. That's okay. We told ourselves, hey, we're going to start slow. We're going to keep going fast. We're going to start slow, but we're always, always going to finish fast. No matter what the score was, we're going to finish hard. We're going to finish fast. Yeah, they had us the first half. I'm not going to lie. They had us. We weren't defeated, but they had us. But it took guts. It took an attitude. That's all it takes. That's all it takes to be successful, is an attitude. And that's what our coach told us. He said, hey, it's going to be tough. It's going to be hard. You're going to go out there. You're going to battle. You're going to fight. You're going to do it for one. You're going to do it for one another. Do it for each other. You're going to do it for yourself. You're going to do it for us. And you're going to go out with this win. And we believe that. We truly did. And it's an awesome feeling. It's an awesome feeling when you truly believe that you're going to be successful, regardless of the situation, regardless of the scoreboard. You're going to be successful because you put in all the time, all the effort, all the hard work, and you know that it's going to pay off. And if it doesn't pay off, you continue to give God the glory. If you still lose the game, you continue to get each other's back. And that's what we realized. Win or lose, we realized that we were going to be all right. It was going to be okay. We're gonna keep smiling. It was awesome. Awesome.
Paul's always got a smile on his face. Talk about attitude. This guy's got attitude, if you guys can't tell. We met earlier this week, and this was the enthusiasm I saw.
It's the mindset. Yes, ma'am. Hey, you can do anything you put your mind to. Never give up on your dreams. Keep smiling no matter what you're going through. If you fall down, just get up. If you can't get up, your friends are there to help you up. Your mama's there. Your daddy's there. God's there. Hey, I'm there to help you up. You're there. It's going to be all right. Just keep smiling, ma'am.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Get back. I mean, you're looking at this particular scripture that's over my left shoulder, I think. Is it there? Yeah. When you think about that, you know, he already knew he was going to say it's going to be a rough environment. This thing of saying that it's not going to be a rough environment, but you can, we're not supposed to, you know, fight evil with evil. Man, like Dr. King said, you know, that, you know, hate doesn't drive out hate, only love does that. And, darkness cannot drive out darkness, only light can do that. Mm-hmm. Light and love. That's something that we're going to, and you may be struggling with this, that you've been religious your whole life, but you're thinking, how do I do that? It's because you don't know God yet. Because it's based on that. It's totally, your walk with God is based on that. And you want to know how to love. Believe me, I think about Bob Jones when he actually had an out of body, he died, his body, his spirit went to go be with God. And he had two particular lines. One line was going, a real big line. And it was basically, you know, not going to heaven. Mm-hmm. And he had a short line right there. And when he got there, John, you know, he said, the question they asked Bob was, did you learn to love? Did you learn to love? And Bob's, I think he's going like, can you get some more time or something? I don't know what it was. And so anyway, they sent him back. And, you know, Bob was just known for his love. And we got some segments about him on the VFN Torch. You got to be able to see him. But Jesus told us very specifically. He sat us down. Think about this. God, the creator of the universe, sat us down, mankind, and he said, let me explain something to you. We call it the Beatitudes. We call it Sermon on the Mount. But understand, the creator of the universe, God, sat down and he talked to us. And this is what we need to live our life by. And believe me, we need lots of grace and mercy to do it. But this should be our battle cry as Christians. This is what he said. He said, you want to be blessed? You want to be blessed? This is what he said. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I'm not going to be poor. And it's like, well, brother, you got to make up your mind. Whatever, right? Just stay loyal to the Lamb.
That's it.
Then he says, blessed are those who mourn, for they'll be comforted. That's another way to be blessed. Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't want to mourn. I don't want difficult things in my life. I don't want to stand up for righteousness. I want to hide in my luxurious Discovery Channel house with the new tile walls. I don't want to come out and stand up for the little children being killed in the Middle East. I don't want to stand up. People won't like me. They'll throw rocks at me. They'll be like wolves. And that's what he said. I'm sending you out like lambs amongst wolves. You know, he says, be gentle as a dove, but wise as a serpent. He said, when they arrest you, don't worry about what you're going to say. When they arrest you.
Always got me.
When they arrest you. And so Dr. King was going, listen, if you actually, you know, go and stand up for an unjust law and you break an unjust law, that's not really breaking a law, but you got to be willing to suffer the penalty of that law. I mean, a lot of people are like willing to go, that ain't right. You ain't taking me to jail. Give me. And the thing is that you got to read his letter that he wrote from the Birmingham prison. We don't have a lot of time to get into that. Hopefully our next program that we will. But it's just really just, you know, we're inextricably tied together and somehow my success is tied to your success, and that, you know, if I'm not successful, you won't be successful. And if you're not successful, I won't be successful. That's God. That's the one another's that he said. This is how God's designed things. And then he goes on, he says, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Do you want to inherit the earth? Be meek. Meek is not wimpish. Meek is like a horse under control. A meek horse, it's like a strong horse, but its rider can just whisper, just gently tug on its reins, and it turns to the right, it turns to the left, it carries the load. the Holy Spirit speaks to you and you respond. It's strength under control. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, not demand it, not call out for righteous laws. Be righteous. Walk out and say, I'm going to live my life. This is more difficult enough to be. See, Lord, I want my life to be a light. I want to live in such a way that your name is glorified. And he says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for that, for righteousness, for they'll be filled. So when we start calling out to God for that kind of life, guess what? God's going to respond and enable us and fill us. Then he says, blessed are the merciful. I mean, merciful is such a rare commodity. When people see it, they start throwing money at it and screaming and hollering, and it goes viral on the internet, you know? But we're all, as Christians, we're supposed to be merciful people. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Do you want mercy? We've got to learn how to be merciful. And he said, blessed are the poor in heart, for they will see God. Think of that, about that humble spirit. We need to have a humble spirit. And humble doesn't mean dormant. It means total dependency on God and respect for folks. You respect folks, different genders, different races, different nations, whatever. I mean, you just love. They're creating the image and the likeness of God. I mean, you just respect people. Then he says, blessed are the peacemakers, not the rowdy people. Isn't it interesting how Dr. King had people to sign the 10 commitments to be able to walk with him? He was committed to peaceful peacemaking, moral confrontation against unjust laws, which was no law at all. He was willing to pay the penalty, but it was unjust. So he knew no matter what before God that he stood, and he said very specifically, and I've said this since day one in the launch, you know, almost 3 years ago with VFN TV. Yes, this is like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. This is like a march to the furnace, but we have to make up our mind. Even if everybody bows down to Nebuchadnezzar's gods, that's them. But as for you and your house, or just you alone, maybe your house won't even stand. You can say, you know what, God, I'm not going to do this by your power and by your grace. I just can't do it, even if it ends everything, even if what I hold precious to me is taken from me. And by the way, your reward is great in heaven when you take that kind of stand. I can imagine what Dr. King's reward is like in heaven. But he says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. So there's going to be a lot of rebel rousing. There's going to be a lot of uprisings. There's going to be a lot of things that God's shown us prophetically that's going to be happening. But you should be different. As a Christian, that shouldn't be you. We have a whole segment inside the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com called Civil Christianity in a Civil Land. And we can learn so many lessons from Dr. King and those that walked. As you see, understand, because he was an American, he was a Christian, and he was somebody who was suffering from unjust laws. You put those three things together, a Chinese man can't do that, a Spanish man can't do that, a Mexican man can't do that, but an American Christian man can do that, who suffered injustice. And he set an example for us. A lot of people took his narrative and they co-opted it, but his daughter, who just recently said, and we'll have it probably for our next program, she said that was not right, you know, Bernice King, she heads the King Center. She's the CEO of the King Center. I mean, you can find out more about that at the VFN Torch. Go to VFN Torch there and go down to Civil Christianity in a Civil Land. And finally, he says, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, listen, it's not blessed are those who are self-righteous. It's not blessed are those who don't eat okra because they don't like okra. They just don't like that particular sin. I mean, think about it. Really think what's happening in today's land. You have people that preach righteousness. You have people that say, you know what? You know, you cannot commit this sexual sin. But you know what? Every single night, they go home and they watch that sexual sin on their television. They watch it on their computers. They watch it on their media. They say, you cannot curse God. But yet they go watch media and listen to people curse God. They buy the media that says, it damns God.
Right.
You know, God's going, enough. You know, we need help here. We need help. Is that if that's going on, we fool ourselves in thinking, you know, I love this, John. You know, somebody says, you know, I was just talking to somebody about you the other day. Yeah, he says, man, they was dogging you out. And almost everybody goes, what was going on? They was cursing your name. Why? They have no right to do that. And they get all in a tizzy. Yeah. You know, it wasn't happening. But when it comes to God's name, when it comes to standing up for God, people, it's like, oh, they only just cursed his name six times, unlike the other times they cursed him 10 times.
Right.
And it's like, do you really love your wife if you allow people to curse her? Do you really love God if you allow, I mean, if you're okay with that?
Right.
I'm talking about changing everything. I'm talking about you personally. Are we okay right. with that? Are we okay with, you know, children being murdered in the womb? Are we okay with the persecution of the church, the beheading of Christians, Egyptian Christians, and the shores of Tripoli in Libya? Do we just go about our daily business the way they did during the unjust laws of slavery in America? Or are we going to stand up as global citizens and saying, dear God, this is a Dietrich Bonhoeffer moment for us. You need to go back and watch the Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and we're probably going to play that. You ready to hear that? We got to start standing up. And thank God. Think about this, and I'll close with this. This German minister who wasn't even saved comes to America, to New York, to preach a little bit. And he didn't like the church and what was going on. And an African-American pastor from Alabama, John, took him to a, but he was in New York, took him over to a Harlem African-American church, or church that was led by an African-American pastor. And they preached the gospel to him, and Dietrich Bonhoeffer got saved. He got saved. This is during the time of Hitler's days. And he saw the oppression of the African-Americans in this country. And it was the beginning of the oppression of the Jews in his country, in Germany. And he realized, I got to go back. But he went back with African-American gospel music. He went back trying to change the church of his day. But listen, this is a Bonhoeffer moment. You're not going to change this legalistic monster. It's time for you to start walking righteously and seeking righteousness and crying out for God, because we need him. It's time for us to look at those that have gone before us in America that stood for God and begin to stand. I want to pray with you. I just want to activate you and to say, you know what? I'm going to stand. This is going to be in the day. Let's just join us and pray. Father God, Lord, help us not to stand idly by, with all this unjust things taking place. Lord, none of us are perfect. That's what you proved. You know, you proved it by the law that we failed. But you also proved your love for us by giving us your son, Jesus. And Jesus, we are so thankful that you paid the price for our sins, that you did fulfill the law, and you fulfilled the law in us. Forgive us for any pride and arrogance. But Lord, we're in a day that we need to stand for you in love. Stand for you like Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Stand for you like Billy Graham. Stand for you like Phyllis Schaffler. Stand for you, Lord, like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Stand for you, Lord God. And even if the unjust laws cost us, dear Lord, give us a spirit like these young children in the Middle East, these Christian children that refuse to hold unforgiveness, that refuse to hate, and they still stand strong for you, God, the faith of a child. Join us in Jesus' name. Amen.
We'll be right back. This is Just a Thought with Ravi Zacharias.
The ability for abstract reasoning is diminishing in our time. When you really start with a minor premise and a major premise, build a syllogism and enter into a deduction, the average person loses you halfway through because they have come to their conclusions on the basis of images prior to that, and the capacity for abstract reasoning has been gone. And I believe Jacques Ellul, the French sociologist dealing with technology, is right when he entitles our ability to perceive today as a process where there has been a humiliation of the word. The exaltation is in images. The humiliation has taken place in the written process.
Helping the thinker believe and the believer think. For more information, go to rzim.org.
If you've been missing our program, or you got, you're saying, I wish I would have got that, or would have got this. If you sign up for the Torch newsletter, go to vfntv.com. And I believe in the upper right-hand corner, it says newsletter sign up. Just go there. And every single week, you're going to get a summary of what happened that week in a way that you can just kind of glance right through it and say, what do you want to watch? What do you want to hear? What do you want to share? And we want to make sure whatever way you can get it. But by signing up for the Torch, you know, that that makes that possible for you. In other words, you can listen throughout the week, but you can summarize it at the end of the week to make sure that you didn't miss something that you need to know.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, next I want to talk about Bill Johnson with Bethel in regards to perceiving the love of God, the kindness of God. I mean, understand this, that God loves you. When God heals us and delivers us and a miracle manifests in our life or in the presence, our presence, it's God just going, I love you. It's the love of God. And God's not someone, if you read the Gospels and see when everybody came to Jesus, He healed them. Didn't matter where they were coming from, what was going on, He healed all that were oppressed of the devil. He delivered them all. I mean, that's our heart, that's the heart of God. It's religious spirit when people start blaming you instead of just going, you know what, God can heal you. God can deliver you. As a matter of fact, let's go listen to what Bill Johnson of Bethel has to say about this.
I hear often people get scolded because they seek God for gifts. They seek Him for healing. They seek Him for breakthrough. And there's some really good statements that have really good intentions and kind of, I guess, good meanings if you want to wade through them. One of them is don't seek the hand of God, seek His face. You know, I just tell people, if you find His hand, look up, because His face isn't very far away. He's just connected to the very work that He's doing in us. And the realization that I came to is I started looking at blind Bartimaeus. I started looking at the Syrophoenician woman who wanted her daughter healed. I looked at the guy whose son was throwing himself in the fire. Every one of these people didn't come to Jesus to get to know God better. They came because they had a need. That's not a bad thing. It's not a good place to end, but it's not a bad thing. Jesus never scolded anyone for coming to Him because they wanted a gift. Instead, what He did is He provided them with the miracle that directed their heart towards the Father. I think oftentimes we think ourselves right out of miracles. We think ourselves right out of the compassion in the heart of God. We make it way more complicated than it is. If you find His hand, look up. His face is right there. He's looking at the person He just healed. He just gave a gift of provision for, or the promotion in work, or provided that spouse that you've been longing for. Whatever it might be, it's that moment of divine intervention in your life. Look up, because His hand, He'll never scold you for looking for what's in His hand. Instead, take your moment to look at the Father who gave it to you. He's so perfect, and He's so wonderful. I want to encourage you, just learn as much as you know how to simplify things. Don't let anyone ever make you feel guilty because you're seeking God for a healing. Get the healing, and then look at the one who gave it to you. He's absolutely incomparably marvelous. You'll discover something about Him in that healing that you can't discover without it. I encourage you, look up. He's smiling.
I want to encourage you to begin to just believe God for everything He says He can do. God is a loving God. He's a kind God. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.